Good morning, church. One of the things that I desire for us is that our roots would grow down deep in Jesus. Paul says in Colossians 2:7, he says, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." For the next 8 weeks, I want to start a series called Rooted, and where I want to talk about how our lives can flourish in Jesus, how we can grow in Jesus. But just for a moment, I just want to acknowledge that I know that during this time, it's difficult. We're still in this self-quarantine, and many people have different kinds of opinions about what we should be doing. But I really think this time for a follower of Jesus is someone that should have a warm heart and a cool head, meaning that, hey, let's just have grace with one another and let's be paying attention to our own feelings and emotions and submitting those to God and listening to his voice. And actually, that's what I want to talk about today, is paying attention to our emotions and listening to God's voice. Many years ago, a good friend of mine who was a pastor gave me a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I'm not too sure why he gave me this book. Perhaps he thought I was really immature about some things in my life. And you know what? He was right. There were some things in my life that I was super immature about and that I just had not addressed with Jesus. On the outside, on the surface level, I looked like a good person, and I was in ministry, I was volunteering with a church, and I was a good guy. But deep down in my life, there were some things that I had not addressed with Jesus. It's kind of like this lake, or the picture of an iceberg. You know, if you think of an iceberg, you only see 10% of that iceberg. You only see what's on the surface, just like this lake. We can only see the surface. But it's the 90% of the iceberg, what's under the surface, that we cannot see. And it's those things in our lives that tend to cause us problems. And there were some things in my life that were causing problems. It affected the way that I loved others, and it also affected my love for God. And oftentimes we don't address those things that are under the surface because, quite frankly, it's too painful. There's too much hurt, and we'd rather just ignore those things in our life. Have you noticed some people like that, who just seem to ignore those things and they just kind of remain kind of immature in their lives, like their growth has just been stunted, and you say, whoa, what has happened to them? Yeah, we can all kind of name those people, but let's not do that this morning. What about you? Are there things that are under the surface that you've never addressed with Jesus? I think we have two options here this morning. We can continue living lives of immaturity, or we can have a conversation with Jesus. But that's going to require some humility. And humility only comes through Jesus and spending time with him and asking God to transform those deep places in your life. This morning, I want to talk about someone in the Bible by the name of King Saul. He's a really good example, or I should say, perhaps a bad example, of someone who just did not pay close attention what was going on deep down inside him under the surface. He was really immature about some things in his life. He had a surface level relationship with God, but deep down inside, there was a lot of pain in his life that was destroying his life and also other people's lives around him. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, you can read all about how he became King Saul. He became the king of Israel, and his life looked like he was going to be a promising king, but it went so bad. His life went so bad. So this morning, we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 through 30 that were just read for us. And just to kind of recap, God had told Saul to go and wipe out the Amalekites. The Amalekites were a group of people who were against the people of Israel. They were not good to them after they left Egypt, and God said, wipe them out. That's a whole different story. But he commanded him to do this. So Saul does what God says. Partially, he assembles this huge army, 210,000 men, to go against the Amalekites. And he begins to wipe them out. But he only obeys God partially. If you look at verse 9 in chapter 15, it says this: Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and the goats, the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. Do you see what happened? They only obeyed God partially, and they only kept the things that benefited them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Then we read in verse 10 that the Lord came to Samuel, the priest of God, and said, you know what, Samuel, I am so sorry that I made Saul king over Israel. Samuel then goes to find Saul, and in verse 12, he confronts Saul and tells him what God had said. And you can almost hear this kind of whiny voice coming from King Saul. In verse 12 or 13, he says, hey, I carried out the Lord's commands. Yeah, I did what he said. Come on. Why are you confronting me? And by the way, he's confronting him down in the city as Saul is building this monument to himself. You know what? Saul just refuses to see disobedience in his life. Deep down under the surface, he refuses to see disobedience. And you know what? He actually thinks he is doing God's will. Again, listen in verse 20. You can almost hear this like sarcastic tone or this whiny tone. In verse 20, he says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. In verse 21, he says, then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats and cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to God. So it's clear that King Saul only keeps and only does what benefits him. And he tries to pass it off like, I'm doing a noble thing, sacrificing to God. You know, friends, Saul's life was way out of order, and he was not paying attention to what was going down deep inside him underneath the surface. You know, in my house and in my life, I have so many gadgets that help me keep my life in order. But you know what I've found in my life and what I see in Saul's life? There's no amount of gadget in our life, no amount of technology in our life can help us order our life. It's only when we submit our lives to God that we get our lives in order. This morning, I want to point out some things that Saul simply said no to that he should have said yes to in his life. The first thing is that he said no to a personal and spiritual reflection in his life. You know, lack of time alone with God leads to a very unhealthy relationship with God. In verse 10, or chapter 10 rather, we see that the Spirit of God came powerfully on Saul. Even at a point, he was prophesying, speaking the words of God. But like I said, underneath the surface, things were not well. In verse 24, it reads like this. It says, then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. Well, that's a good start, admitting that you've sinned. And he says, I've disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command. And he says, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. So Saul is living his life dictated by fear. Do you live your life like that sometimes, dictated by fear? Then he goes on to say in verse 30, then Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned. But listen to this. He says, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. It looks like he's doing a noble thing, worshiping the Lord, but he's like, you know what? Just honor me. Make me look good before my people. Saul is just unaware, friends, of the deep fear in his life. Saul is unaware of how he is seeking and living his life for the approval of men. Friends, I know what that's like. You know, seeking the approval of men and being afraid of what people may or may not think leads us to a bad place in your life. And so fear and the approval of men begins to dominate his life. If you go on to read in chapters 18 and through 20, you'll read of his struggle with David. David would be the next king after Saul. And Saul is just filled with anger over David. You know, six times in chapters 18 and 20, Saul tries to kill David. He's filled with anger, he's filled with jealousy, he's filled with fear, and he's acting that out because he's not paying attention to what's underneath the surface of his life. And the crazy thing is, friends, he actually thinks he's doing God's will. Friends, I know that I'm not alone in this. And I know that Saul's not alone in this. How many of us just would rather not really think about and reflect on what goes on underneath the surface of our lives? I was on the phone this last week with somebody who is counseling a parent. And the parent is blaming their child for all the problems in the house. But in all actuality, it's the parent. It's the parent who has not spent some time in personal reflection before God. And every time the child does something, it triggers something in this person's heart and they come unglued. And it's like they are stuck at that point. It's like a broken record or a CD that just skips or is stuck in that spot, and they are just in this cycle because they don't spend time in personal reflection with God. You know what the solution to this in Saul's life and the solution to this problem in our life is? Getting alone with God, friends. Getting alone to God, submitting our lives to God and listening to his voice. I'm reminded of King David in Psalm 73. He said this, he said, when I tried to understand all this, like all this stuff that's going on in my life, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Friends, I have found that when I enter into God's presence, when I submit my life to God, I hear God's voice, and then all this stuff that is troubling me, triggering me, makes sense in his presence. You know, King David had all the same struggles as Saul. King David has had all the same struggles as we do, but the difference is that David enters into the sanctuary of God. David enters into God's presence and comes before him and says, God, I need you. I need your help. Would you help make sense of what's going on underneath my life? Saul simply just said, no, I'm not going to spend time in spiritual and personal reflection. He should have said yes to it. The second thing that Saul said no to is no to developing a personal relationship with God. He simply does not take time to do that. Again, I think I already said in chapter 10, we learned that the Spirit of God came powerfully on Saul. But we don't get any indication in his life that he did anything more to cultivate a relationship with God. He was kind of just like on autopilot. Yeah, on the outside, he looked like a great king, perhaps. On the outside, he was going to church. On the outside, he was singing on the worship team. On the outside, he was serving in this or that ministry. But his life was on cruise control. His life was on autopilot. He does nothing to develop this relationship with God. And I think you and I both know that in relationships, in a friendship, in a marriage, that it takes time to cultivate that relationship. And the only way to do that is to spend time. It's to spend time listening to that person. I know that with my own wife, as she says to me from time to time, "Hey, you're not hearing me. You're not listening to me." You know, Saul had this public life, but he didn't have a private life with God. You know, it seems like Saul really wants all the blessings of God when it's convenient for him, when it benefits him the most. It's kind of like the salad bar at a restaurant. Man, I love salad bars because you can pick and choose what you want to eat. There's a wide variety. And Saul does this with God. He has this kind of like salad bar mentality where he picks and chooses what he wants to do only if it benefits him. And some of us do that with God. We're not taking time to cultivate this personal relationship with God. Probably one of the most challenging verses in Scripture is right here in chapter 15, verse 22. It says this, "But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?' Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice." Wow, that is so challenging. You know, this word obey and this word listen are the same words in Hebrew. And what God is saying through the priest Samuel, he's saying, "You're not listening to me. You're not hearing me, Saul. You're just on autopilot. You've got to listen. You've got to hear. Yeah, you're doing all this great stuff. You're sacrificing and you're helping this person. You're helping the needy. You're giving this. You're doing all this great stuff, but you are not listening. You're not listening. Obedience is better than sacrifice." In verse 23, Samuel goes on to say this, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination," which means witchcraft, "and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Wow, that is sharp. Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it like this, "Do you think all God wants are sacrifices, empty rituals, just for show? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing, not staging a lavish religious production. He wants you to listen." That is straight and to the point, my friends. You know what, friends? Saul is not asking the question that we all need to ask. He's not. You know, we can sit through a good sermon, we can sit through a good worship service and not ask the question we need to ask. And this is the question: God, what are you saying to me? Sure, we might think this might be a good sermon for somebody else and think, man, I need to forward this to someone. I need to share it on my Facebook wall. We all might be thinking that right now, but the question that we need to ask is, God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do about this? Obedience is way better than sacrifice. The third and final thing that Saul said no to, that he should have said yes to, is to trials and difficulties. We know that Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, he said, "Yes, in this world you will have troubles." You will have difficulties, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, many of us have brokenness in our lives, and many of us might even be fearful about what this world and maybe even the church is going to look like after this. But you know what? Scripture tells us over and over again that God is our strength, and God uses our brokenness in our life for His glory. But Saul simply refuses to accept brokenness in his life. You know, in chapter 13, Saul is in the midst of a battle. And I won't go into great detail about all that was going on there. You can read it yourself. But he's in the midst of a battle. And you know what? God is taking too long. I'm sure you're like Saul. And you've said that before. You know what? God is just taking too long. And Samuel, in the midst of this battle, he's thinking God is taking long. So you know what? He just throws up his hands and said, fine, I will deal with this myself. I am going to take this matter into my own hands. And boy, were there some consequences for that. Saul refuses to let brokenness, he refuses to let this pain and this situation shape him as a follower of God, and to grow him, and to let his roots grow down deep into God. And so instead of saying yes, he just says no. You know, I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message about trials and tribulations from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He says this, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Friends, I know challenges and setbacks are not fun. And I know many of you are in a great challenge right now. Many of you are grieving the loss of many things. I think about our seniors in high school right now, who are grieving the loss of a formal graduation ceremony. I'm grieving the loss of our students and teachers who have not been able to see each other every day. But friends, the scripture is clear, and I know that many of us have experienced it in our own lives. God is faithful to use these things so that we would be mature and complete. Another translation says, not deficient in any way. Wow, that is the grace of God in our lives. You know, Hebrews chapter 5, 7 through 9 talks about how Jesus learned obedience through suffering. It says this, while he lived on earth, anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain. You know what? It's okay for us to cry out in pain. The psalmist David does it all the time in the Psalms. Jesus cries out in pain, and he wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Friends, if Jesus, God in the flesh, had to learn trusting obedience by suffering, I don't think there's any other way. And so we can embrace it and say, yes, this is really hard, but I know that God is at work developing me, maturing me, because he does not want me to be deficient in any way. Saul simply said no. No to brokenness, no to weakness, and I'm just going to take the matter into my own hand. Will you say yes this morning to brokenness and weakness? It's a way for God to grow us in him. So friends, here we are at Palmer Lake. I know some of you are trying to figure out where I'm at today, but here we are at Palmer Lake, and we're only able to see what is floating on the surface. We're not able to see what's underneath. But I think in all of our lives, we know what's under the surface. We know what's lurking deep within. Would you say yes to developing, to personal reflection and spiritual reflection? Would you say yes to cultivating this personal relationship with God? And lastly, would you say yes to embracing weakness, knowing that God is developing you and maturing you and doesn't want you to be deficient in any way? Saul said no, but will you say yes this morning? Amen. I love you, church, and I'm praying for you through this really difficult time. I want to say this. Whatever God brings into your life, it's going to be good. Whatever is along the road that He brings in, just say yes. Let me close us with this benediction. It's my prayer for you, church. I love you. This is my prayer. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's my prayer for you. Have a great day in the Lord. Spend some time with your family today at home, discussing the discussion questions, and more time praying together as we continue to move through this crisis together. Love you. We'll see you online during the week and also next Sunday. Have a great day.